Stock markets today are extremely volatile, even more so than in the past few years. In-depth investing with Gavin Graham helps to cut through the confusion. Gavin and his contributors, including expert analysts, journalists, advisors, and financial executives, can help. In each edition of this podcast, they cut to the core of the matter and suggest strategies to consider for selecting your investments and for keeping them safe and intact. And now, here is your host, Gavin Graham.
I am Gavin Graham, and with my contributors in various areas around the world, I'll bring you in-depth investment analysis of the impact of global events. Unfortunately, at the moment, many of them seeming to be fairly major crises, and the effect that they will have on your investments and your financial health. Having been handling investors' money for 35 years in half a dozen countries and several continents around the world, I would say that the present time is one of the most volatile I have ever seen. Having said that, there's reason for that, and we'll discuss that with several of our contributors today, primarily because of the unknown effect of the coronavirus outbreak on economic growth and the stock markets and economies around the world, but also because we are in a market which has a lot of passive money that's driven by algorithms and is invested in vehicles which are selling regardless of the price. So what we've seen over the last month since we hit all-time highs in mid-February has effectively been a major outbreak of panic. The markets were down by almost 40% until the most recent set of government measures to provide support for the economy, and in the fastest period of time, certainly since the Second War, probably since the Great Depression. There are several very violent countervailing forces at work, and the financial sector right now is feeling the effect of them. You may be wondering whether to stay or to go, whether to leave completely and go into cash, or whether to actually try to step back in, feeling that perhaps there's some opportunities. Because of these forces and the questions that they raise, this is our second special report on volatility, which we hope will provide some insights and perhaps give you some perspective on where we are now. Even so, as always, we suggest that you consult your financial advisor about any investment decisions. For this report, I have two financial investment analysts and an investment advisor to actually give us some insight into what's happening in the world and what it could mean for your investments. Given the 1-2 punch of the coronavirus crisis and the effect of the oil price slump because of the price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia, it may seem as though we are constantly being buffeted by forces over which we have no control. My first guest says, however, that we should be able to expect some recovery by the third quarter of this year. I have Paul DeSisto on the line. He is Executive Vice President and Managing Director at M&R Capital in New York. Thanks for coming in today, Paul.
Thank you for inviting me, Gavin.
Well, each time we talk, it seems to get more interesting, if that's the phrase we're looking for. But that's certainly a fairly bold call on your part, given the size of the downturn that a lot of analysts and economists are expecting in the second quarter of this year. What are the reasons behind your confidence that we might well see a recovery?
The main reason is simply a technical indicator. I use the average directional indicator. It's a technical indicator that averages out up, down movements and up movements. And it's a little obscure. I'm not going to get into the details on it. What I will say is the market appeared to have bottomed out on March 23rd. The S&P, the Dow Jones, the New York Stock Exchange Composite on the 18th. We have had we are now in our third straight update in a row. I wanted to see before I felt fully confident at least two and preferably three up days in a row in the market indices. One day alone doesn't do it. That's just a snapback rally. And the day up days that we've had, as we've had this downward trend for the past month, have been nothing more than snapback rallies. I'm looking at the chart right now, would have a day up, and every next day would be down. two or three days, then would have a day up and down two or three days. So I do think this has changed here because we are in our third day. Right now, the markets are all three of the major indices, NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow Jones, are up between 2 and 2.5%. I expect that to continue. The news that came out this morning about the unemployment rate was rather funny. Maybe somebody's suffering from dyslexia. I don't know. On the TV, it said 3.82, and on the computer, it said 3.28. Nonetheless, those numbers, I truly believe, were baked in. Everybody expected it to be up to 4 million because the financial press had been saying 4 million. So that's part of the reason that I feel now is the time to buy some of those securities, and not necessarily safe haven stocks, so to speak, or quote unquote. I'm not so sure I like that expression. I think now is the time to get some of those technology stocks that I mentioned in my weekly newsletter. I do think that some of those stocks are going to be somewhat immune to the vagaries of the economy. And indeed, we are going to have at least one, possibly two quarters of slowing GDP, not informally known as a recession, not technically, but informally known as a recession. It may extend into the third quarter. I highly doubt it. And I think after we enter the third quarter, things are going to look very good economically. The market is forward-looking 6 months. And that's why I think we're having what we're having now with what appears to be a reversal of the downward trend.
Indeed, and obviously a large part of that reversal and for your confidence is the enormous size of the fiscal response of the federal government. Was it a $2 trillion relief package? And perhaps most important, and perhaps in contrast to what happened with the financial crisis a decade or so ago, money going directly into the hands of the people who most need it, which of course, would it be fair to say, Paul, might have something to do with the fact we have the presidential election coming at the end of the year?
Yes, that's very fair to say, Gavin. Matter of fact, that is a very big factor. The president wants to get reelected. I believe he will get reelected. Everything that the government can throw at this economy to get us out of this conundrum is going to be used. Monetary policy continues to be explored, different types of monetary policy, not just lower interest rates. There's also liquidity, adding to liquidity, overnight repos and things of that nature. Now the possible purchase of mortgage securities will resume. That has always been a big tool that the Fed has used fiscally. In addition to the $2 trillion that you mentioned, now we're seeing some of that may actually become equity stakes in certain companies. And this happened 11 years ago with the car manufacturers. The government wound up being a part owner. And now they're talking about Boeing is going to be partially owned by the Treasury. So there are so many tools that the federal government can use. They will be used. And I do think we will start seeing very, very nice economic numbers beginning in the third quarter of this year.
And obviously that's the snapback, is what one can say, from this very, very sharp downturn. Whether or not the country starts getting moving again after Easter, as the president is hoping, or perhaps as more sort of the epidemiological input seems to be, perhaps it might be a couple of months, but at the very least by the third quarter there will be lots of people coming back to work. However, if for whatever reason that doesn't happen as rapidly as one might expect, are there any weapons left for the Fed and the federal government, Federal Reserve and the federal government, to actually help the matters on their way?
There's already talk about a second stimulus package that might be coming out as early as the middle of next month. $2 to $2.2 trillion is a lot of money. The addition, the extension, I should say, of the unemployment from 26 to 39 weeks is very, very significant. Folks may remember back 11, 12 years ago, it was extended to as long as a year. So just because we've had this very, very large stimulus plan put into place or voted finally yesterday, it doesn't mean that that's the end of the fiscal stimulus to the market. So I would keep an eye out on a second stimulus package, maybe not $2 trillion, but maybe that another one that's still going to be sizable. So the government is not out of ammunition, not at all. Even the Fed is not out of ammunition. There are still more monetary tools that they can use. They can always step up their buying. In other words, they can always step up the printing of money and then buying these financial securities to prop up companies that are having problems, such as banks and so forth, that are interest rate sensitive. So there's plenty more to go. We have to keep an eye out on it. We'll be more backing in, filling between now and a sustained uptrend. But I think overall, the trend, I think, is that we are going to have a market that moves sideways to slightly up over the next couple of months before it takes off significantly towards the end of the third quarter.
And you mentioned that some of the stocks or sectors that people might look at wouldn't necessarily be what have been described as safe havens. And you included technology within that. What other sectors would you suggest people should be looking at in anticipation of this recovery?
Certain retailers, I think, are very, very good because they are going to participate in this pent-up demand. And if every household that's not working is getting $3,200 a month, you're going to see people going to Target and Walmart and Costco. I've always liked all three of those companies. They are not soft goods retailers, obviously. They are consumer staples retailers. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think we have to be wary of the interest rate sensitive sectors, such as banks and insurance companies. That may be an issue. So I would sort of stay away from them for the time being until we get some direction in that area. Technology, specifically internet-related technology, I should be a little bit more, narrow that down a little bit more. And internet-based retailing, if you want to buy an Amazon at this price of over $1,900 a share, when you could have purchased it a week and a half ago at $1,700 a share, I would be a little upset with myself. But that being said, I still think that's something worth buying. I think Facebook is worth buying. So I would be internet related in that regard when it comes to technology stocks.
Okay, Paul. Well, thanks very much for both giving us some optimism about where this might go and also some ideas about how to play it. We'll be back again talking soon, I know.
Thank you, Devin.
Thanks very much indeed, Paul. That was Paul DeSisto, who is Executive Vice President and Managing Director at M&R Capital in New York, talking about why we might well see some recovery. And obviously that would be very